Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
From the company that brought you the critically acclaimed and award-winning Earthworm Jim comes MDK, the next generation of video game. Welcome to the future.
Good lord, is that the future?
I love that prototype of the game. It's so good.
It's sort of okay, good. I want to play it.
It's trash.
Hey, everybody. Oh, geez, that was weird. Hold on. Sorry. Oh, there we go. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Play Retro. Yeah, that's right. Play Retro is on, and I'm Scott Johnson, one of your hosts. And I don't think I should be able to float around very well with this spaghetti thing out the back of me like this. Maybe I'll just get on the ground and blow up some dudes right up close. How come some of these sounds seem like they were ripped from the Earthworm Jim ROM?
Because they probably were. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I am here on a mission of delivering kindness. In my skin-tight rubber coil suit, sniper-equipped H.R. Geiger nightmare headgear, and my never-ending arm Uzi. Now, how about a headshot of kindness for all you aliens stealing my world's resources? Kindness delivered.
Mm-hmm.
You've been MDK'd.
MDK-O.
MDK'd.
That's right,
right in the head.
We're going to talk about MDK today. And some of you at home are going, what? What the hell is that? Oh, if you missed out on this weird thing, then you missed out on a very pivotal point in video games.
Yeah, if
you're
around in the 90s and you played the Dooms and the Quakes and that kind of stuff, and then you looked over here and went, hey, what is this thing over here from the Earthworm Jim developer guys?
Yeah, what's this about?
You might have been blown away.
Yeah, you'd find yourself going, what the F? We'll get into all that, so stick around for some discussion that goes pretty deep
the
there.
The 90s were weird.
The 90s were effing weird. They were weird, and the further we get from them, the weirder they get. You know?
I mean, the 80s we can look at, and I almost feel sorry for those people. But the 90s people, I don't think they care if we feel sorry for them.
They don't care at all.
I think they're, no.
Mm-mm. No, they don't give a shit. But I can tell you that I love the 90s, and the further we get from them, the more I love them. It was a great decade. I love being alive during the 90s. So we're going to talk a bit about that and other things around it. Before we do, a couple of quick retro notes for the week. I've been playing, for some reason, I don't know why I picked it up again, but I am playing Metroid Fusion again on my Steam Deck, of all things. And man, it's good on that thing. It's so good on that console.
It's good.
Holy crap. It's very good. Now, you might say, Scott, what are you doing?
But they've got a new Metroid game.
Well, they do, but I'd have to, you know, that would be illegal. What I'm doing is playing the Steam version of the Metroid Collection.
Oh, okay. So you've actually purchased something that was on Steam that was called the Metroid Collection.
Yes. They also have the... Uh-huh. Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? Am I playing... I might be playing the ROM of that, and I'm thinking of the...
But so you may be playing them on the Switch, maybe, right?
Well, the Castlevania games maybe is what I'm thinking of, because the Castlevania games... I don't think they've got Fusion on the GBA stuff on the Switch yet. I think that's coming, though.
Okay.
I hope they hurry. They got the SNES game, but no Fusion. And for my money... As we've talked about on our Metroid episode, Metroid Fusion is my jam.
Yes, I didn't get that into it like you did, but I did like it. I am very interested in the new Metroid. And I'll tell you, I've been jonesing to break out my game. Every time we start getting like in the PS1 era kind of in our reviews and stuff,
sure,
I always want to break out my GameCube and play some Metroid Prime. I just feel that itch every time.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn good.
And this game that we played this week, MDK, kind of gives me some Metroid vibes.
I'm having
the Metroid Prime vibes.
I'm playing the new Redhead Jedi Survivor.
Oh, game. Yeah, the redheaded Jedi.
Yeah, that guy. Ginger Survivor. Just kidding. Yeah. I've been playing that, and that ended, and the game that came before it, the Jedi New Order.
New Order.
What it was.
Yeah.
They both remind me of Metroid games.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
totally. I play them kind of like that. It's like, I'm the only guy out here. It's just me and this dumb robot and getting shit done.
That's the way I like it.
Traversal and new things unlocking. And I don't know. It's got a Samus energy to it. I like it.
Right.
I'm here for it.
Fallen Order. I think Fallen
Order, not New Order.
We said New Order.
What's New Order from? That's something.
It's the Jedi's New World Order, I think is what we were
thinking. What is the New Order one? Oh, that's Wolfenstein. There's a Wolfenstein New Order. That's what I'm thinking of. Anyway, that's what I did, Brian, with my retro time. What'd you do this week?
Well, I accidentally, I played with that A500 Amiga Mini just the other week, and my youngest son came by and stole my keyboard mouse that I was using to do all that stuff with, and I said, well, I need a new keyboard and mouse, and so I made the mistake of ordering a mechanical keyboard, which I'm showing on screen now. This is a one-off, just Amazon. I didn't spend too much. It's called Major B or something like that. Mm. And I ordered it was like $25 or something. It lights up with the little rainbow effects and everything.
You know what that looks like? That looks like something the Cave Johnson people in Portal 2 would use to like use their computer systems.
Yes.
That's like a very cool. It's got all these
blacks and oranges and grays and the whites are kind of off white. It has that retro kind of look to it. The keycaps actually come separately. I had to order those. Those are more than the keyboard themselves. This is what I learned over the weekend when I showed this on stream on this past weekend. I had a bunch of keyboard heads in there and I didn't know it. And they were all like, oh yeah, what kind of switches are in those? And I'm like, first of all, it's like switches. I don't know.
Keyboard heads, like the
right.
Like the actual keys. Is that what we're talking about?
No. People who are really big into keyboards.
Oh, I thought you were naming the bits. All right.
No, there wasn't a bunch of keyboard literal heads talking to me. There were people who were into keyboards. Yeah. Keyboard nerds. How about that? Keyboard nerds popped online and said, hey, I saw a keyboard. I heard somebody talking about keyboards.
Yeah.
And so they start busting in. It's like, what kind of switches are those? And I'm like, switches? I bought some keys for it. They're like, no, is it clicky, clicky? I'm like, yeah, clicky, clickies. And they're like, well, take one of the keys off. I'm like, all right, let me take a look here. Oh, they're blue switches. Underneath the keycaps are blue switches. Okay. What does that mean? And they started explaining, how that works. And they said, you should probably get this color, brown switches. And I'm like, some people are like, only brown switches for me. And so, yeah, I learned so much over the weekend.
That's great,
about
though.
Mechanical keyboards. Yeah. I also learned that I'm really slumming it by paying $25 for this thing and then getting the keycaps. Because to really enjoy a mechanical keyboard, you apparently got to sweat over it a lot and spend upwards of, $150, $160. And then maybe you can start to come to enjoy a mechanical keyboard, apparently.
Tell me if you can hear this. So I got a new one as well. It's an EVGA brand. It's pretty standard. It's nothing fancy, but check out the sound on this thing. So I don't know if anyone's... I know that you'll be able to hear it, I think. But can you hear that?
Oh, I hear it. Yeah. That's a good chonk. It goes chonk, chonk, chonk. You can hear it bottoming out.
That's what people want with a keyboard like this. I think. I've heard that. You want, if you're going to go mechanical, why you want it to be quiet? You want to be loud.
I went in red. Well, mechanical, the clunking is not necessarily something you need unless you need to hear that the key has been pressed. I'm a programmer. I program a lot during the day. So apparently, even though I just mistakenly got the blue switches are good for people who are programming and they need that tactile feedback so they can tell the key has been pressed. Some other colors, brown or red or whatever, is more for gamers, I think. And once again, this just all general information. I'm trying to absorb all this stuff. I had no clue that it got this deep, but it gets deep, man. Mm. If you want to explore the depths of keyboarding, especially in the retro era, because people are like, oh yeah, I need this IBM format type of old style keyboard. I'm looking forward to learning more. I can't say that I'm not even near an expert, and I'm sure people are going to write in playretroshow@gmail.com and tell us their favorite, which I love hearing stories. Hit me up on Twitter, all that good stuff. But I'm just now dipping my toes into this. And Bellerophon, who is one of our community members, has offered to help me out with this stuff. So
oh, nice.
I can't wait.
A keyboard nerd, yeah. You might say.
A keyboard nerd, yeah. Exactly. A keyboard nerd, and I can't wait.
I like that
Speaking
you called.
Nerds,
I like that you called Twitter that good old stuff. No, that place sucks. It's bad now. It's a bad place to be. Yeah. But anyway, what
is it bad?
Ahead. Yeah, it sucks. Twitter sucks, dude. It's bad. It's a freaking cesspool.
Right.
Now. It's a bad place to be.
Not, I don't even mind the cesspool because I've gotten used to the temperature of the cess. That's been there forever. I don't like that it's no longer a stable platform. The cesspool doesn't bother me because I can block people.
Yeah,
I can make Twitter
cess.
into what I want, even though Elon Musk is trying really hard for that not to happen by going, even when I block somebody, people still show up in my freaking
Well, then
feed.
That goes to your point about its instability.
It's unstable.
I don't like it.
He let a bunch of people go, and it's like, oh, we only need this many to manage. Apparently not, because now, other day I was on Twitter desktop and it kept logging me out and I looked and hundreds of other people were saying the same thing.
You weren't
and
I'm the like, only one.
It's just become unstable.
Yeah, it's become stupid and lame. But anyway, the point is, I got a Blue Sky invite, so I'm feeling pretty positive about that.
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited about your Blue Sky invite. Where's mine at?
I need to get you one. As soon as they're supposed to drip feed us new invites.
That'd be awesome.
When they do, that's how they're going to get during this phase, that's how they get new users. So I'm going to hold them for all my video game pals. You, John, Bo, they're going to get all my first ones. And then
I'll baby bird that thing like this.
Yeah. You read it down there just like eating my barf like a bird.
Right, yeah.
Feed me,
Scott.
Feed me. All right, well, that...
Wait, before we get on that, I had one more retro nerd thing that I wanted to just shout out there. So just as a shout out, printables.com, I put a link in the chat room, or in the notes, is a place I go to all the time for my 3D filament prints, and it's what got me into 3D printing. And they are running a contest right now called it's a Retro Game Boy Accessories, and it ends in 4 days, and you can do up to 5 entries per user, and they've got 95 entries so far, and I am digging some of this stuff. I've seen this really nice Nintendo Switch ergonomic Joy-Con grip with Zelda crest, and it's like in the center of it is kind of like flanged out, so it's so cool. And there's fridge magnets. I got a bunch of magnets I want to try out as well. But it just got a lot of cool stuff coming out for that.
That's awesome, dude. Printer. And are these models like STLs and crap you can download and use?
Correct. Yeah. You click on any of these, since it's printables, I don't think there's any fee for any of these things. You just click on them and you print them out.
Game Boy patent art thing. I want this
yesterday. Isn't that cool? Yes. The patent art is kind of like it prints out like a little picture with these real thin lines and stuff.
I gotta get it. That's one of them.
Gotta get it all.
Gotta get it. All right. Well, awesome. Very cool. Go check that out. Printables.com and look for the Game Boy accessories thing they're doing. We can put that in the show notes as well if you're trying to click.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, totally.
All right.
And I tweeted it.
Oh, you're good. Oh, good. Place. Well, you should have tweeted it. Well done on the tweet.
Yeah.
You did it. Twitter, go. Catch it. It's hot. It's hot and new.
Catch it. It's hot.
All right. We're going to dive straight into our main topic this week, MDK.
Shall we play a game?
Sure, why not? Let's play a game. Let's call that game MDK. What does it stand for? Murder, death, kill. And this is what it sounded like.
Some people say that.
Yeah, some people do. Here's what it sounded like at the time. Yeah. Some wind. Some lasering. Monkey.
A monkey. You're like, what the hell?
Yep, a chimpanzee of some sort. Very intense music. And if you're thinking to yourselves, well, I don't remember this game, let us regale you with its virtues today.
Mm-hmm.
The game, like you said, is MDK. Now, let's get this out of the way right away. You say, or I say, murder, death, kill, because I really thought that was it. But there's some complications to that, right? We don't actually know. It could stand for
Mother's Day kindness or something like Mother's Day kisses. Mother's Day kisses.
Mother's Day kisses. That's perfect.
Yeah, Mother's Day kisses.
Yeah. Even though the game seems to be more about murder, death, and killing, but still, it's possible.
Yeah. Shiny Entertainment, who developed this game back in the 90s, they had a marketing problem. This is they were tied in. Was it Playmates? Was it?
Playmates.
Is that the right name?
Playmates.
The toy company.
I believe so.
Yeah. And so they had to, you know, they had to market this game carefully. They couldn't just call it Murder, Death, Kill. So they call it MDK. And then they you know, shyly go, oh, we don't know what it stands for. Maybe it's some mission kindness delivery. You know, it's like that. What was it called? Delivering kindness. Mission delivering kindness.
Got it.
Mother's Day kisses. If you ask any of the developers, they'll give you something a different, including all the way down to the first character of each of the your primary characters, the first letter in their names,
right?
Which is Max, Dingus, and Kurt.
Yeah, Kurt.
it's Professor Dingus. I can't remember, what was his name?
Well, his name. So the professor. Well, I'll have audio of that in a second from MDK 2, because MDK 1 was weird. In that it didn't have, we're talking about kind of a next gen 32-bit kind of experience at the time. And everybody upgraded the computers to play this thing. It was like super hard on your hardware and all this stuff. But it didn't have much in the way of like audio work. Like it had sound effects like you heard in some of this music, but there was no voice in that first game. It was just kind of like action and let's go. Second game had like narration and character voices and all this stuff. And the character, I believe's name was, do I have this? Hold on, I might have it.
The messes were large, but the pay was good.
No, that's not it.
Maybe it's that voice actor, you've heard him do plenty of stuff.
Oh, yeah, he's been around.
Kurt Hectic never wanted to be a...
Kurt Hectic.
Yeah.
It's, how dumb is that name? How dumb?
That is a dumb name. I've watched so many interviews this past week, mostly with Nick Brody, who is the primary driving force behind this game.
Yeah.
Creatively, anyway, especially. And... yeah, he talked about it was partially named after Kurt Cobain and then a character in a movie. I think they said some kind of line that was like Kurt Hectic or something, because I guess his brain was hectic.
Yeah.
So it's very loose. So basically they just threw a whole bunch of ideas on a table and they kept the stuff that was fun.
Yeah, they went with it. And it's very action-oriented. Yeah. It's very run and gun. It's a third-person shooter. With some exceptions to like right now we're watching them bomb, or watching him bomb some facility.
Yeah, is that Max? I think is Max. Are you controlling Max there, or is that?
I don't remember.
I'm not sure. You can call in a bombing raid, and that's what's going on right now.
That might
Max
be what
is
it is.
The six-legged dog.
I still think there this lifted up. This lifted up Kurt somehow, but Kurt
it might be.
Kurt looks like one of the skins, like the default skin in. Oh, what's the four-player co-op shooter that everyone likes? Can't think of the damn thing. Oh, Warframe. If you've played Warframe
at
all.
Warframe, yeah.
This guy looks like Warframe. Like, 100%. Every time I play Warframe, I went, hey, you took a little MDK idea, did you there? You know?
It looks like somebody, you know how when they ride, when bicyclists wear those really long aerodynamic helmets that go all the way down to their ass?
Yep.
It kind of looks like that because it's supposed to be like it's inspired by Geiger art. Is it Giger, Geiger? I never say it right. Whatever.
Giger.
Giger, Geiger.
Yeah.
From Alien. Yeah. You know, you've seen Alien.
Yeah. He's the artist that designed, like, the Xenomorph and stuff. Amazing artist. But the point is, like, it's clearly inspired by that stuff, right? There's no way they didn't think of that. But also, see, here's what's weird, though. My memory of it when I played it back in the day was, first of all, my PC freaking choked on it, and I had to buy some new hardware.
Yeah.
That was number one. Number two, when I did get it working... the look and the feel of the thing, I thought was way weirder and like kind of dark toned and all this. It's really goofy. When I played it this week, I was like, this thing is goofball as hell.
Yeah, it is much more. My experience with this and Serious Sam were kind of similar. One was more in a fantasy setting, and one of them's in a sci-fi setting. This sci-fi setting, it was the same. Mm-hmm. It felt really adultish because we had been so used to seeing... We're just now getting into the 3D era. As a matter of fact, the primary character is just sprites. He's 2D sprites. The thing that was choking your PC was this draw distance that's going on with these really pretty big worlds that makes use of the coolest... aspect of this game, which is the sniper.
Yeah,
mode,
the sniper stuff was really unusual at the time, because even like Quake and some of those earlier examples, you didn't have that kind of distance on guns.
Right.
Like,
no. This once again goes back to Nick Brody's original vision of wanting a game or a game mechanic that you could shoot a guy in the eye from really long distance with accuracy. So yeah, yeah. They put that right in this game.
And it worked, I have to say, even playing the old version of this, it works pretty well. It's not bad. It's fun.
Everything about this game is fun. I didn't get too frustrated, except for some of the platforming. Once again, this is Shiny Entertainment's first 3D game. Mm-hmm. All they've been doing before then was stuff like Earthworm Jim and a lot of, you know, all just 2D stuff.
Yeah.
And Aladdin. And so here they are into the 3D world. And they kept a lot of their platforming gaming mechanics, and sometimes that was a little frustrating. But I remember that being a thing anyway when I first started playing, first-person, third-person games. Trying to platform just seemed impossible.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. I just wish it was more. Well, you know what I wish for? I wish for MDK3 is what I wish for.
Like, we wish for MDK3. We got an MDK2. I haven't seen Nick Broody anywhere. One of the things I always do when we do these shows, if there's a developer that I was interested in, where are they at now? We haven't seen Nick Broody in a couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know what he's
I don't
up
know
to.
What he's doing. Yeah. He was working on a new project for a reboot for the Amico thing. Hmm. You remember that thing's had all kind of controversy surrounding it. Yeah. And then, of course, it was 2020, I think, was the last time we really posted anything on that bird site. And, COVID hit. So I don't know where he's at. But if anybody's got a pulse on Nick Broody, let me know. I'm curious what he's up to now, because he's been active constantly since, you know, the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Busy dude, and then suddenly nothing.
Yeah.
Hope he's all right. The game itself, though, is just so tonally weird. Like, on the one hand, it's like, ooh, Giger art looking stuff, and this place is weird and dark and mysterious, and your guy is like this half-alien, half-man, rubber suit man thing, and his weird parachute spaghetti out the back of his back and all that. It's just so weird and strange.
How'd you feel about that parachute, by the way? The sniper, the head sniper gun didn't bother me any, but I always was like, that parachute wouldn't work.
Yeah, it would never work. It wouldn't work at all.
How does this string parachute work? Is it full of helium or something?
Mm-hmm. But it was cool because it felt like it's almost like symbiote. And I'm sure they got some inspiration from Venom and those comics at the time. Yeah. Because why wouldn't you?
I think spiders, don't they fly on like some kind of something similar or something like that. A lot of popular culture references in anything that Shiny Entertainment does.
Yeah.
You know, they're just they love popular culture, and so there it went. Did you just see K-9 and we sucked it back up to the professor?
Yep, that's how you get it done. And then you talk to the professor, and he's a poop. He's a poop.
I didn't know anything about the story, because I think when I played this game, I wasn't really big into reading manuals or anything like that. I just jumped right into the game. And this game does not give you much information other than, there's some aliens attacking the
world. Yeah, listen to this line. Earth. It says, you're getting a news flash and you're looking at his mission board. And it says, a huge city mine crawler is headed straight for, it's a horrible font, heading straight for the small town of Kirkcaldy, Scotland. And that's all you get. That's your story. And fight.
You get in and you start shooting stuff.
Yep. That's it. And now, that's okay. For the era we were in, it's fine.
Right.
Whatever.
Now, there is a movie you can watch if you don't click past that, and it kind of introduces some things, but doesn't tell you stuff like Kurt is the professor's janitor. Mm-hmm. And the professor, you're all in space because the professor got tired of being hacked on all the time. On Earth, so he decided to go to space, and there he made the six-legged Max Dog robot Max Dog.
Dog.
A lot of 90s weirdness in this. The drop part right now, what they're doing right now, that was brand new to me. We see this a lot more now, but you drop into the area kind of like you would in, like, when you watched the Aliens movie. It's like, it's time to do a drop.
Yeah, well, think of it as like I don't know, Fortnite or
Halo
something.
Halo drop. And
yeah,
we do it now all the time. Right?
Yeah, it's a common thing in games now. But these giant candies that you eat, so stupid.
That reminds me of Crash Bandicoot, the wombat fruit or whatever it is.
Totally.
Oh, you're talking about the nice big Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, the big Tootsie Rolls. But it doesn't matter. The fruit, the Tootsie Rolls, all of it, they're big, dumb, and dumb. And I'm not saying that I mean, this is the era where we don't know what we're doing yet in 3D. We just don't know, right? We're trying our best. We're making some weird choices. We're making it happen. I'm fine with that. I preferred the tone of two. Two felt like they knew what they wanted to do more than one did.
Yeah.
One felt like, hey, we got this 3D engine with this weird texture stuff, and let's go for it. Okay, what do you want to do around it? I don't know. I'll freaking shoot shit. You know, I mean, that was kind of it. But the
I think there's a lot less stress on BioWare, who did MDK 2, because Nick Brody and Shiny Entertainment, they had been through the 90s. They had been through the grinder, because they just, every time they turned around, the money people wanted them to be making the next big thing. Mm-hmm. And it was always crunch time.
Yeah.
And these guys were all creative guys, and they wanted to make the best product possible. And so MDK 1 got cut short in production. It's only a 4-hour game. Mm-hmm. You can complete it faster than that once you get a little experience at it.
Right.
And there's, I think it was like six levels or something, and you like it's fighting boss to boss.
It's a little bit of a tech kind of fighting demo. It's a tech demo in a lot of ways.
Yes, and it is a tech demo. So MDK 1 kind of set the stage for what could be done with this really wild Nick Brody vision of this kind of world. And BioWare just said, we're going to take what you did, this really cool, fun sniping mechanic and a little bit of light platforming. And the sniper is the snipe mode is used a lot to solve environmental puzzles.
Right.
Kind of reminds me of Portal in that fashion, because it feels like, you know, you've got to do you're working kind of in a linear fashion and you have halls in between. And then you have to figure out how to get to the next area.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. Speaking of which, let's talk about MDK 2. Here's that intro, because I think it's pretty good here.
Kurt Hectic never wanted to be a hero. He was content with his life and wanted to live out his years in quiet, dignified anonymity. Sadly, it was not to be. Kurt was employed as a janitor for Dr. Fluke Hawkins, eccentric man of science. The messes were large, but the pay was good. So when Hawkins left, Kurt followed. Did he know what was to come? The doctor had wished for a place away from his detractors, away from those that thought him mad. With janitor in tow, he left the earth, vowing to return only when his genius was proven.
Yeah, a little more, you know, a little more,
all told in a comic book format. So it's like just this is fantastic. As a matter of fact, I think some of that might have been used for the MDK Sniper Edition, which I've been desperately trying to find.
Can't find it.
I knew nothing about this until this past week, but apparently there's a Sniper Edition that's got the first one, the second one, it's got the comic book stuff, it's got MP3s of the soundtracks, which are fan-freaking-tastic. Tommy Tallarico does an amazing job. I would love to have the Sniper Edition.
Now, the version we're looking at here is not fair from a retro perspective. We're looking at the PlayStation 2 version of the game.
Right. Now, this was actually on the Dreamcast, PC, Mac. So,
it was all over the place, but this version looked the best. They had specular highlighting on textures and, you know, some stuff that we even still use today when you go buy a brand new game, just a little more advanced. But it was definitely a jump up. The character is now a polygonal character, not 2D sprites that are all mushed together in animation. It's an actual character you move around. And, boy, I like this game a lot. Two is good.
This one is not as you feel the age less.
In my opinion, for sure. Yeah. Just visually, but even the gameplay, like I just feel like it's a better controlling game. The shooting is tighter. I guess I'm gonna not blame, but I'm gonna give credit to BioWare for that.
But BioWare did an very good job of keeping the spirit of the first game and just expanding on it.
Yeah, what I would really like, if they made a 3, you keep this high-octane run-and-gun kind of vibe. But there is so much you could do now, dude. Like, oh my gosh, you could make the coolest modern MDK game.
I know, and you wanted to... I think in some of the interviews I've read, Nick Brody has given a lot of interviews over the years. And if I remember correctly, and maybe I read this in a wish list somewhere in a forum... I think he wants to do one. It's kind of like, he wants to do a third one as a sequel. So he doesn't consider this BioWare MDK 2 really the sequel to the first one.
Really?
Even though we see it as that. I don't think he sees it because he wanted to finish this. He left because he didn't want to get in the grinder again like they did with Earthworm Jim, where they're just churning out MDK after MDK. So he like bowed out.
Yeah.
And so, but he still had passion because this is, if anything, this is mostly a Nick Brody vision, right?
Yeah.
It came out of his head for the most part. He sketched all the stuff out. He had a lot of the ideas and the
primary game mechanics. He did the drugs that he designed it on, you know?
Like yeah. So
he ate the cocaine bar while he did it.
He actually ate the cocaine bear's poop and he really just went to town. There's a lot of people involved as well, but
of course,
you want to go down whose vision it is, I think it's absolutely his. Yeah. He wants to do another one, but he would like to see it like, you know, maybe in a, you know, people asked him if, you know, well, what about a VR world? And he's like, nah,
yeah,
I don't think so. Yeah. But maybe it'll change his mind.
Maybe it will, but don't do VR. I don't think you should worry about VR.
I don't think it'll go anywhere in VR.
Make it VR compatible, but you don't have to just make it as a regular game and then give people a VR mod or something.
I just, as a VR user, I feel like if I had a sudden ability to zoom that would be required for the speed of this game, I think I would probably puke. Zooming in really quick like that, I don't see that being a good thing.
It's a lot of really quick movement.
That was
the point of it. You know, they were trying to create that visceral feeling of just running through these levels and I don't know, did a pretty good job of it. I think 2 is really good, and I would play it again.
I played these games on the PlayStation. I purchased the disc.
Yeah, you got it right there? Let's take a look at it.
Yeah, let me take a look at it. Okay, let's see.
Brian found it somewhere. Do you eBay it? What was the deal?
I eBayed it.
You eBayed it? Yeah, we
knocked everything off. This is, I purchased this off eBay just about an hour south of me. There was a guy who had one, and he sent it to me, and it's in great condition. It's a PS1, packaged it very well.
Blockbuster on the back. Look at that.
Yeah, it's Blockbuster on the back. I was worried at first as I was like, uh-oh, I've purchased a Blockbuster. And if you remember how they used to do these discs, they used to put a sticker on the top of the disc. And sometimes that would cause problems if the sticker on top wasn't pressed correctly, it would get wobble.
Oh,
right?
Interesting.
But this disc is perfect. There's nothing in it. The case just looks like maybe it was something that Sony eventually made an agreement or something with Blockbuster and was shipping these things directly to them. But the disc is in excellent condition. And I played it on my PlayStation that I have. I got an HDMI adapter so I could plug it in. Streamed it. It was a lot of fun, but I was using it and I had to play it. There's I used my original controller, so it's not DualShock. And so it controls funky.
I'll bet it does. Yeah.
Yeah. Even on the default layout on the PC version, which I also played. There's a Windows 95 and a DOS version, which you can pick up on Good Old Games or Steam, I believe. I would prefer the Good Old Games if I was doing it. And you use the arrow keys. So this is before.
Wait, why would you, just so that we don't run past that, why do you prefer the Good Old Games version over the Steam version?
The Good Old Games version doesn't seem to have as many issues with how it is being. I'm not sure if one's a DOS version and the other is a Windows version. I don't know how it could, though, because Windows 95 wouldn't run on a Windows. Anyway, all I know is everybody was telling me, stay away from the Steam version. It's ganky. So
really weird.
I'm going to go with.
I would assume the code bases would be equal or something. I don't know why.
You would think so, but that's kind of not been my experience. Now, usually my experience is if it's a DOS game on Good Old Games, their DOS box is usually configured properly at the box.
Gotcha.
Whereas on Steam, it seems to be less unified. I think it's up to whoever is distributing it, and it's not always in the original, you know, Interactive or whoever's Interplay. It's not with those. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally.
So there's probably a little more difference.
You know what I think?
I can't say. You're right. So you're right, though. I have no personal experience. I just know that it seems the common consensus is Good Old Games.
Sure. Now, let me ask you this. It seems to me that the window for to make a new version of this game or even remaster these old ones or remake them or something... Right. That window is either closed or getting close to being closed because there is a whole generation and a half of kids that I feel like do not know what the F this is.
Yeah.
It's hype was a tight little space of window time, like a little hype blast, like, bam, MDK, everybody's got to get it. And then No one talked about it anymore. The marketing machine shut down. Nobody was selling new ones. Nobody was talking about them. Mm-hmm. And now MDK is like a relic of the past. Right. That's what I think would hold it back from us getting anything new now.
Right. And the value wasn't in, really the value wasn't, as I went along, the value doesn't seem to be in the property itself. It seems to be in the talent that was involved. And those guys moved on to their own personal projects. And I don't think, without that passion and vision, I don't think you really go anywhere. Like BioWare could have made an MDK 3, but you know, what would you do? Because it kind of just took what the original vision was and just, you know, enhanced it.
Yeah,
there was BioWare, not really anything.
I don't think BioWare even owns the pipe. I mean, they don't own the IP, right? That's still a...
No, I don't think so. So a couple of years back, you know, Shiny Entertainment, years back, really, they went out of business, and then a lot of the stuff went to another person. And a lot of changing of hands of the Earthworm Jim properties. I'm not sure where the IP officially exists with MDK currently. So that is one of the things I didn't get to research yet.
No, look at this. So I'm looking at MDK2. There's a scene where you're fighting a giant boss. I just put it in our Discord.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's a booty hole. That's what that is. It's a booty
hole. That is absolutely a booty hole. You're supposed to zoom in with your sniper penetrating helmet.
Yep.
And
yep, and shoot the booty hole. Yep.
Now, does that not look like some Metroid Prime trash right there, man?
Everything about it does. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like the Samus vibe is real, except when they get goofy.
Yeah.
One of the things I like about Samus is it takes itself very seriously, and it works for Samus for Metroid. I feel like this is too wiggy diggy. It's just like, hey, we're being weird. Let's be weird. But also, I remember that sound from the last one. There's a monkey.
Would you
noise,
describe
like,
it as kind of swing schwang?
Yeah, swing schwang. Kind of, sure.
Swing schwang.
A little bit of swing schwang. Yeah.
The final boss, swing schwang.
Swing schwang, the final boss. Yeah, with his giant space anus that I have to shoot.
Space anus.
It's a cool game. I would. Is there somewhere I can get two that's like a reasonable place to get two these days?
Absolutely. Good old Games has both, but once again, like I said, like you pointed out, my bias may be showing a little bit. I didn't think about my journalistic not being biased until you said, well, what sucks about the Steam? I'm like, well, I heard. And I'm like, oh, that's not how you...
That's very biased. Yeah.
that's not how
you can get MDK 2 for $9.99 on Steam. It's currently at a very positive rating.
And it's on sale. That was a reason. That was the other reason too. $6.99 is how much MDK2 is on Good Old Games, and $6.99 for the first one as well. But the convenience of having it on your Steam Deck may outweigh that.
Oh, I see why people are so. Windows 10 is a problem for this. You can't run this.
Yeah, that I've been messing with PCEM this past week, and there's been another one released recently too. That's trying to address DOS emulation. There's a lot of projects going on right now that are trying to address all these games that are just
janky DOS
languishing
stuff.
Because we can't get good emulation on DOS games.
You know why? Because DOS sucked.
DOS was not, so it's really easy to well, it's not easy. It's easier to emulate for a console like a PlayStation 1 that was around for a very long time and did not really deviate from his architecture, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But then you get into the PC world and you've got a whole bunch of different configurations and possibilities, and it gets much more difficult to address each one of those.
Sure.
Unless you're doing it on a hardware level, which is what they've been, which is where that's going.
Can we talk about this pitch for this weird 2D thing they did?
I love the pitch because they fake you out. They start out with the Earthworm Jim kind of style, and
we did Earthworm Jim, now comes our next awesome thing, and it looks like a 2D platformer, and that's where they write Murder, Death, Kill, by the way, is in that.
Yeah, they definitely, they, yeah, that's the reason why I'm like, oh yeah, it was originally going to be
it
murder,
was
going to
be
kill,
Murder,
is,
Death, Kill. Yeah,
yeah.
And look at him, this is your dude, he's got a sniper head, he's got all his business going on, but then he realizes, oh shit, I'm actually in a 3D game, check it out everybody, I'm 3D.
I would play this, by the way, I would play this Earthworm Jim amalgamation of MDK. I love it.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
With all haste would I play that.
And I would have watched the movie that never transpired. They were trying to get an Earthworm Jim movie going on, and they were trying to get a movie for this as well. I think the guys who did Reboot You remember that?
I do remember. Cartoon series, yeah, that right? Horrible. We all thought it was great at the time. It's pretty bad.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah. Early 3D animation stuff. Mm-hmm. I think they were in line to try to make an MDK movie, which I would have loved. Mm-hmm. I think, but that never came.
Well,
to me,
as of 2021, Earthworm Jim, the TV series, is in development at Interplay Entertainment. That is happening, supposedly.
Right.
Although we haven't seen anything since then. It's been a couple of years now. MDK nowhere to be found. Nobody's doing that.
Yeah, nothing's going on with MDK. I did a deep search everywhere to find. I was like, come on, anything.
Yeah,
with some MDK in it, but I couldn't find anything. So this is one of those times, and we come across it occasionally, where something lives and it dies in the past. This lived in the late, you know, mid to late 90s, yeah, into the early 2000s with an HD remaster, and I think he made it to the Wii.
Yeah, it did.
And then it just kind of disappeared.
That was it. Yep. No one remembers. That's why we're here to bring
we
it back
remember.
Up.
Play Retro remembers.
Petrod Farm remembers. So check this out. I want to read a quote about this upcoming Earthworm Jim series from an executive at Interplay. All right. Interplay. These people all sound like dummies to me, but listen to how he says it. I remember loving Earthworm Jim as a kid. And yeah, there's so much potential in this storied universe. A galaxy full of animals battling for power. Jim is an earthworm in a universe where Earth is nothing more than a myth. His struggle to find meaning is surreal and comical, but also relatable. I hate it.
Now, Interplay has, I don't know how to take this, but there is on the Bluebird site that we, for some reason, keep talking about. I don't know why. That is Interplay Games. And they did blast out a tweet a couple of years back saying, MDK3, you know, all hyping us up. I guess to see what the temperature of the room was, maybe. I don't know. But don't do that. But they did that. You know, they did a little stuff with Earthworm Jim. We talked about a couple of, four or five episodes ago where, they did some animated stuff and they were looking at doing a new game and stuff, and yeah. I don't know. It's just
we don't know what they're doing.
It's just sad to see, because the intellectual property is just, you know, I don't know where they're at. The chat room is thinking that it could possibly be on Amazon Game Studios, could be a possibility there. Sure. Pixel Rageous is, I believe, you know, is maybe with a little bit of research. I usually love Pixel Rageous usually knows.
Well, he's been right before.
Right.
Listen to the games they have coming. You ready for this? This is Amazon Games. Blue Protocol. Some kind of anime.
Blue Protocol. Thing.
Lost Ark 2023 content. We knew about that. New World Season 1 Fellowship and Fire now available. And then finally, nothing else. That's all they have listed.
And then finally, you got nothing else.
There's a games button. Let me look further. Okay, so Lost Ark, of course. Blue Protocol, whatever. New World, already new. No, that's all they got. They have nothing else here.
Right.
So if they are working on that, they're being quiet about it. All right.
Right.
But you never know. Jeff Bezos.
You never know. You never know. Does Interplay even, I guess they still exist, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but is it only in name, or is it?
I don't think they're making games. I think they're just like an IP company now, right?
Right. I think so. Because that's kind of what, I think that's what they end up doing. They just sold all the IP stuff, and then they just license it out. If you go to Interplay's website, they do have MDK and MDK2 on their website. So I don't know.
Here, I can tell you right now.
But I think somebody else owns all this stuff at a different level, and they're licensing it out. It gets complicated. I don't understand none of this part.
Oh, they still own. So Black Isle Studios and Interplay Discovery are both working studios. So yeah, I guess they still publish. Right. I just don't see them anymore like we used to. When we were younger, you saw Interplay on, like, especially in the PC side of things, everywhere.
Right.
Around everything.
Yeah. It was the stuff. And that's the reason why they were to push, you know, places like Shiny Entertainment around, even though we had some of the, you know, great designers and developers.
Yeah.
You know, they were able to push them into working crazy hours and crazy schedules and, you know, beat the clock and all this other stuff.
Yeah. It was the way of things.
It's still the way of things.
I agree. Well, all right, go check it out. Lots of video online, lots of other stuff if you don't want to go through the trouble of playing it. But if you do, Steam, good old games, emulation, real hardware, all those options are there. I think it's probably worth your time to at least I don't know.
I mean, if you like ribbon kind of parachutes and arm Uzis and, you know, sniper helmets that can let you zoom in literally to the point where you can see their, you know, the enemy's eyes.
Yep.
And usually they're like dancing around or making fun of you. So it's even more satisfying to shoot them and kill them. Watch their green blood spill out.
Yeah.
It's pretty fantastic. I played the MDK 2 on my Dreamcast.
Mm.
And the Japanese import on that. I sent you did you get my image of the VMU unit?
Yeah, I did.
Chibi.
Yep.
Yeah, I had the little chibi looking coil suit.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yep.
That's
what those were good for. That's about all they were good for, but I loved it.
But still, it was, I had a good time.
You won't hear me complain about that. I think that's a rad thing they used to do. I like it.
Yeah.
They just weren't very
capable.
And
if you haven't heard, if you do nothing else, even if you're like, none of that sounds good to me, I promise you, if you look on YouTube for the Tommy Tallarico MDK music, you will have a good time because he's got all these great variations on James Bond type themes. It really did feel like you were kind of like some kind of futuristic James Bond just whooping ass just in this game.
Tommy Tallarico sounds like a guy who races in NASCAR, doesn't it? And we got Tommy Tallarico like coming around the bend. It sounds just like that to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you have that.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Let us now dive into this.
Destroy it.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to talk about games that we have to guess, okay? We're going to play audio from them. It's called Guess My Game. I'm going to play a little bit of audio for Brian to start us off. It's going to be an old game. He's going to know the year and the console, and that's all he's going to know, but he has three questions. If he gets them all wrong and still guesses wrong, well, he loses, okay?
Then he's just a flat out
then
loser.
He's just screwed. Yeah, there's just no other way around it. So I'm gonna go ahead and start my audio and see if you know what this is. The hints are Super Nintendo Entertainment System, and the year is 1992. All right, 31 years ago almost this game came out. That's weird. Here it is.
The Seinfeld?
Nope. Oh yeah, that first part kind of did. Let's go back. It does sound like that. Definitely not a Seinfeld game.
I don't know. I like this vibe. SNES 1992.
SNES 92. Everything is cool. Listen to our song.
Wow. That is some Seinfeld sounding instrument there, boy.
I agree. Any guesses thus far?
Is this a puzzle game?
It is. Is it a puzzle game? That's a fascinating question because you could make an argument that it is.
There is puzzle elements to it. Okay. So, but it's not primarily a puzzle game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to refine that question.
Yeah. And you're going to be annoyed when you find out what it is, unless you guess it, because you're going to go, wait, how'd you get puzzled? But you may agree with me too. I'm not sure on that.
Okay. Well, that's fine. That's fine. A lot of games include puzzling elements, as long as it's not the primary thing. Okay.
Yep.
Because it kind of feels like a match three kind of thing or something, or
a little bit, right?
Tetris or something. Is it based on an intellectual property? Like, is there a series?
That's another great question because let's say nobody owns. Okay, I'll answer your question. Nobody owns this intellectual property, but it is absolutely an intellectual property.
Okay.
So it's not, you know, it's a little like Tugboat Willie we talked about. No one ever has owned this one, though. Let's say it's an ancient IP, and anyone can make a version of it.
I think it's Steamboat Willie, but I like Tugboat Willie.
Oh, did I say Tugboat Willie?
Maybe it is Tugboat Willie. I think pretty sure Steamboat. Okay,
it's Steamboat. You're right. but it's so old, no one's ever really owned the rights to it. But it's still intellectual.
I got
it's
you.
An IP.
I feel you.
Yeah. I guess it's not.
Those are going places. Let's see. I'm trying to figure out what kind of game mechanic would go with this kind of music, because I'm not hearing any effects either, so it almost sounds like all music.
Yeah, is there an
element of collecting in this game? Do you collect a lot of things?
Oh, this is so funny the way you're asking these, because kind of, but not. It's not. Yes, you collect things, but not in the way you're thinking of. You collect them by capturing them, killing them, capturing them.
Okay. Interesting.
These are wild questions. And when I tell you the answer, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's why this is so weird. And none of it's helped you, has it?
No.
I'll give you a hint, okay? These do-do-do-do-do. Here, I'll play a little bit. Those things, each one of those sound things is tied to a movement, if that helps.
Okay. It felt like some kind of Tetris game, but I don't think it's Tetris.
It's definitely not Tetris.
Is it dun, 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 dun. It's based on something old? It could be anything. Is it dominoes of some sort? SNES's Nintendo Dominoes.
Incorrect.
I have no idea.
You are wrong. Right. I will now tell you the answer. It's going to annoy you probably. The game that we've been talking about is Chess Master for the Super Nintendo.
Chess Master. Damn it.
Do you see why the chess part's complicated with the questions?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of an IP, but it's not really owned by anybody, but you can all make a thing based on it if you want to. It is collecting things, but really you're capturing them.
I see it.
What was the other thing you asked? Is it puzzle-like? And it kind of is a little bit.
It is puzzly. Yeah, I can see that.
So this was a weird one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
So there's your answer.
I like that. 92 SNES.
Yeah, every chess move was made that little music, and your side was doo-doo-doo-doo-doot, and the white side, which was computer-controlled, would go doo-doo-doo-doo-doot, and I think you'd do two-player on that.
Right. Interesting.
And then if something captured something, it was like dun dun dun. Like I got more, you know, weird. But there you go. Chess Master, 1992 Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Brian, tell me about your thing here. What do we got?
So in honor of before we do another episode of Play Retro, and this is going to be easy because you're going to hear it right away. Yeah. This has to do with May the 5th, but. It is PC, and the year is 1997.
97. It's going to have to do with May the 5th.
Yes. And I'll tell you this. You'll probably know what area and franchise is from almost immediately. But will you get what the game is?
Let's give it a shot and find out.
PC, 1997.
All right, here we go. Oh, it's Star Wars.
Captain Solo's turn.
Okay, questions?
It's definitely Star Wars.
Captain Solo steps to TIE Fighter. I'd forgotten how much I hate space travel.
Is this, it's 97.
Yeah, year is 1997 for the PC.
PC and anything else, or just PC?
Did it come out on anything? No, just Windows. It was just Windows. Mm-hmm. Only Windows.
Only Windows. That's the kicker here.
Yeah.
Lord Vader's turn.
Lord Vader. Wait, his turn? If someone's taking turns? Oh my gosh. Anyone in the chat have it? I'm not looking.
Captain Solo's turn.
No.
Captain Solo's turn. Turn-based?
Yes. Is that your question?
Yeah, is it turn-based?
Yeah, it is turn-based, yes. Absolutely turn-based.
Is it... My second question is it a Star Wars chess game?
I wish there actually was a Star Wars chess game, and
yeah,
I
like
thought
the
about
holo
getting
chess.
It. That's what's hilarious.
Yeah, holo chess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it is not.
Okay, well, it's definitely not any of the sim games like TIE Fighter and X-Wing and stuff. Those were all like sim space games.
Right.
So I was thinking of those at first, but if it's someone's turn.
Lord Vader's turn.
This is hard.
Yeah, that's what I said. It comes off first like, oh, I got it.
All
no
right.
problem.
Final question. Star Wars. Is it a multiplayer game?
Yes.
I mean, turns in 97. Jeez. I'm going to say pinball? Star Wars pinball?
Oh, I'm sorry. The answer I was looking for is Monopoly Star Wars.
Shit!
CD-ROM edition.
Gosh dang it. So we have the droids just standing around going, it's your turn. Play this game.
We've got to play this. We've got to stream this one night.
But what if I hate Monopoly? What if I hate Monopoly, Brian?
That's all the more reason to play it.
Really? Why?
It's Monopoly. Because it's one of those things where it's just like, oh, it had to be so frustrating. I would love to hear you be frustrated with this game.
All right. It's like what the properties are like, I don't know, Tatooine or whatever.
Everything you would guess. Everything that you think it would be is that.
Does it look like ass? Like, how does it look? It probably looks bad.
No, it looks really good, actually, for a game from 97 I think it was. It looks really good, actually.
Monopoly.
I thought it actually looks a little more modern than it actually is. And it's up to 4 players. And you could play up to 3 AI players if you want to play solo.
Oh, I see what you did.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
This is a LucasArts joint, or who made this?
No, this is an Artek Studios, and it was published by Hasbro, of course, since it's Monopoly.
Yeah.
Artek, you may know from, let's see what they did. They did some bunch of older stuff. Dark Castle, Crystal Pony's Tale, Breakthrough. Fight Night.
Look at some of this movement stuff. This is kind of funny.
I know. I like it. Look at this. I think we'd have fun playing this. Even if you hate a Monopoly, I think this would still be.
You know what? I might enjoy this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, why is R2's head just his head with a couple of arms floating around? I don't like that.
It's weird, wrong. Isn't it? Yeah. Is it even R2? I don't know. Or is it some kind of droid?
It might be. It looks like him.
Monopoly droid.
And he made
Banker droid.
He made the beep noises like R2. I don't know.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Look, you can shoot the dice.
You shoot the dice. That's how you roll them.
All right, I could be convinced, maybe.
Yeah, look at this X-Wing. Look at this thing.
I mean, it looks like shit, but I think
it looks like ass, but I love it.
Look at this little head-first R2 unit. Oh, my gosh. All right.
And all the pieces, when you first start, look like they're the pewter, kind of like the characters and stuff, like the shoe and the car and all that stuff. But you get these nice little clips and everything, full-motion video stuff.
Yeah, the models are bad. That's Darth Vader here, let me pause that.
Yeah.
That Darth Vader, he's skipping leg day. He's got to get in there.
Look at that. He's got lava legs.
Yeah, lava legs because he had the lower ground, see, so he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at this.
Didn't work out so well, did it?
Something up with these pants. It's almost like Lego Star Wars, but he got like melted and elongated or something. I don't know. I don't know how to.
Love it.
I don't know how to rectify that in my head. All right. Well done. We both lost. We both lost, and that feels great. Feels great to lose to Brian.
And may the fourth be with you.
I hate saying that. All right, moving on. Let's do some of this here stuff.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Yep, that's right. Time for us to do an email. This week, it's just email. Let's do this email. You ready for this?
Do it.
PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. You can also send your text to 801-471-0462. We have a few built up. I just didn't get time to get one, but don't worry. Those are coming. And you can leave us voicemails there as well. Here's the email from Kyle who says, hello there. I'd like to suggest the Wario games for a future show. Wario made his debut as the villain in Super Mario Land 2, having taken control of Mario's castle while he was away in Super Mario Land 1. By the way, it was never Mario's castle, okay?
Well, I mean, didn't he kill and take the castle? Isn't that the...
I don't think he did. Did he ever,
didn't
take
he kill
the
Bowser and take his castle? Wasn't that the whole rub?
Or was
it the princess's castle and he's just hanging out?
I thought he was just hanging out with her. Plus, he had to go back to his fledgling plumber job that he had.
But I thought she was in a different castle.
She always
is. Shouldn't have been her
castle,
right?
She was never in the right castle, I don't think.
Right. So did she even have a castle?
She was in White Castle stuffing down burgers.
She's in another White Castle.
She's in another White Castle is a great way to mod that game. Anyway, there are five Wario Land games, 1 through 4, and a Virtual Boy game. Virtual Boy game.
Yeah.
The games are unique platformers that feel totally different from the Mario games. I agree. I like Wario Land 3 and 4, I believe.
Yeah.
3 is on Nintendo Switch Online and is a full-on Metroidvania game. That's true. I haven't really thought of it that way, but it is. Excuse me. And all the games have multiple endings. I'm disappointed I haven't found any platformers in modern times that play similar to them. I'll bet we get emails about some that do.
Yeah.
We'll see. After the land
I can't think of anything, but you know how the emails come.
Oh, yeah, of course. You also need to do the WarioWare games. Absolutely. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
These games were interesting collections of mini games that were introduced to a whole cast of characters, and they're absurdly fun, of course. I mean, I played the shit out of mine.
Scott is a huge Wario fan.
Huge
fan.
Love Wario. Across
and
the
I
board.
I love Waluigi.
I hate him. Waluigi sucks donkey turds. He's the worst. But Waluigi holds no lantern to Wario. Wario's like, I'm going to win. He's just a just an a-hole. And I love him. Anyway, it says, funny, Scott was just talking about WarioWare, touched on the River City Ransom episode as I was typing this. You guys have already covered Mario, but if the Mario movie has you in the mood again, Wario was certainly worthy of an episode. Keep up the fantastic shows, Kyle. Kyle, you got it, man. We'll put Wario
I think it's
on
a great
list.
Idea. Once we get back around to the arcades and start heading back into Nintendo universe, I think that might be up there on the list.
I agree. Why not? Why not do that?
Yeah.
We'll discuss that more. But next week, this is the important bit. But, next week. Oh, why is that playing there? That shouldn't be.
I don't know. But just be sure that when we say we would like to do that, like we would like to do a Star Wars based episode around May the 4th.
Yeah.
Which we didn't do.
We didn't do it.
Things change.
Yeah.
So sometimes we just talk, right? We try to do it, but sometimes we just, things don't work out.
I felt a little bad about that, but not really.
I did feel a little bit bad because I totally forgot we said we was going to try to do that.
Yeah. But it's okay. Super next Star year. Wars trilogy, we'll wait for a different time.
Yeah.
Next year. But next week we are doing one of my favorite games of all time. And it's going to be the series known as the Twisted Metal series.
Yes, I'm so excited, especially with that new series just being announced as well. So
new TV
not time
series,
to get in some Twisted Metal.
Is that Peacock or Paramount? I forgot.
Which
P it is. Is Peacock, I think.
Peacock?
I think
you're right. Well, that would be an NBC joint, right?
Yeah, Peacock, the one you pay for, and also Freecock, the free one. You get both those. Twisted Metal is, we're dipping into PlayStation 1 era like we did today. Some of you think that's not retro enough, but I think Twisted Metal deserves some discussion, and 1 and 2 absorbed my life for a long time.
Right. I think it is because Twisted Metal, the first one was, October of 2000?
Earlier than that. Yeah, it was like 96,
Oh, first
release,
1995.
Yeah,
1995 was in the first one.
It fits. It's very old.
Oh, yeah. It's very comfy.
And I played that. Oh, my gosh, dude. I played that game so much. We loved the Twisted Metal games.
Yeah.
And I'm super sad Sony
it's
has
Demolition
not done
Derby.
More.
I mean, what can't you enjoy?
Well, it's more than that. It's derby. Shooting each other and throwing bombs at each other and stuff you could never do in a derby. And not only that. Like, today we live in an era of a bunch of really popular and successful battle royales. Why is one of those not Twisted Metal, Sony? What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you even
what
doing?
What are just you making, even doing?
Selling series to the Peacock?
Yeah,
come on.
You're making Peacock and not enough Drive Cock? Anyway, we're going to talk all about it. That'll be next week right here on the show. And we may even bring up Black. We're not going to talk about Twisted Metal Black too much, but Black is worth discussing.
Oh, it's good. It'll work its way into conversation. That was a PS2 era game, right?
Yep, PS2.
Yeah, was that kind of like Twisted Metal 5, I think? Because I think it went up to 4 on the PlayStation 1, and then I think they jumped
was there 4
to,
on the 1? I know the PSP had a couple, or one at least.
Yeah.
I don't remember what that was, if that was numbered or not. I don't remember. We're going to dig deep and find out for you. You guys don't at home to have to worry about it. We're going to do it.
Yeah, you relax. We're going to go do some homework.
Yeah, we got this covered for you. Don't worry about it. I do want to mention some patrons, though, because we got a bunch since last time we spoke.
Yes.
Patreon.com/playretro has seen the addition of Phil Welch, Josh Cronin, Ulf Skoglund.
Skoglund?
That's a great name. Chris Munson, Matt Peterson, B-Rad 1978.
Yeah, 78 baby. Yep.
And Gabriel Grimm, who has a dark story to tell us.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Those folks all joined us because they don't want commercials. They want pre-show content every week, both video and audio now. as I mentioned at the top of the show, monthly benefits, all up and down that biznatch. So go read it and find out why you should be a member of the Play Retro Patreon at patreon.com/playretro. In the meantime, Play Retro can be found wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us reviews if you can. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. 801-471-0462 is our hotline. You can leave voicemails there, text, all that stuff. And, of course, frogpants.com/playretro. Brian, I think we've done it.
I think we made a show, and I thought it was fantastic, and I can't wait to hear what you people had to say about my keyboards.
Who are you calling? You people. Just kidding.
You people.
Until next week, we'll miss you all, but go play something retro and come back real soon. You hear?
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
The messes were large, but the pay was good.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
Kayla Itzinis. I'm Kayla Itzinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.